Today we are speaking to Johanna Kinvall. Welcome, Johanna, to Stir the Pots.
Thank you.
How did you begin cooking?
Probably from early age in Sweden. I'm born in Sweden and with my mother. And she was cooking always and especially a lot to Christmas and stuff, and we did cookies and candies and rolled meatballs. So we were always part of the that part. And then I also saw my mother. She was like buying like whole pigs and chickens and all that. So that's something I think is very important to actually think about the whole animal.
How did you decide to incorporate cooking and illustration in your blog?
That was an old idea to work with recipes and images and illustrations, and more with stories than recipes, and so that's why I started my blog. And but it was also a way to actually write down my recipes, and even if they were not so clear.
And what exactly is your motivation to illustrate rather than do what most bloggers do, photograph and stuff?
I'm actually quite good photographer, but I don't think photograph food well though. And I also don't maybe think my food looks so well. That's not an excuse really, because that I can always improve that, and the food is tasty. I photograph most of the things I cook, but it's more to actually document than have pretty images of the food.
And those you use as, I guess, models for your illustrations then?
Sometimes. Actually, I look a lot on the internet. Mm-hmm. When I look for inspiration, if it's something. But of course, if the recipe is mine, I of course look at my own cooking, because that's the right thing. But yes, of course. And techniques also. Actually, sometimes when I do things that's like pierogies, mm-hmm. for instance, I ask my husband to take photos of me doing the thing. Uh-huh. And sometimes I forget, so I actually have to pretend I'm doing it just to see the how do I actually hold my hands.
There's technique there.
Yeah.
How do you describe your style of illustration?
Very clean and minimal.
And where do the ideas for what you cook come from? Or is it from just cooking from your past memories, or things that interest you, or just things that you see daily, or how do you get your inspiration?
A mix of both. I think it's a lot about memories. But it's not necessarily Nordic food, but of course that's a big influence, because mm-hmm. that's what I grew up with. But also I have some German in there too. But then my husband is British, but he comes from a Polish family, so I get that too. because I mentioned pierogies before, I get also very influenced by reading other blogs and. When you're on the internet or Twitter, what's that? to know about it. So you always learn new things, and then I have to try it.
And with those recipes, do you adapt them to what, I mean, having never maybe tried one or something, I mean, it's an adaption really. It's something new that's your flavor. But you don't per se, I mean, follow the strictly to the tea,
but sometimes I do, and it depends. Uh-huh. I had a friend who's from the country. It's an Arabic country anyway,
okay.
And so we did pita bread and all that, and so then I was really careful to follow and
strictly
to the
letter,
as strictly I could.
Yeah.
But then I was a little bit too extreme, and I made them a little bit too thin, so they became
puffy.
Like very puffy, and they never sank down.
Yeah, kind of stuck together.
So they look like art pieces, sculptures. we couldn't eat those, but
crackers.
Yeah, they were crackers. But some of them I succeeded well with, so those they were delicious.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So. Scandinavian foods sort of come up front of late. I mean, we have Noma, the incredible restaurant there. Why do you think it's taken so long for it to be recognized or come to the forefront? Or is it just something, everything's a trend maybe, or?
I guess so, yeah. But I feel like the Scandinavian food have been quite popular for a while, but now it's extremely popular. But I mean, when I came to New York 10 years ago, it was, I mean, like, Aquavit was really popular already and have been for years and years and years. So I don't know. I don't know, actually.
Yeah. Well, I think in this country, for me, I mean, I went to Aquavit only once, and it was after Marcus Samuelson left, but it was still, like, for me, it was like, I kind of know some of these things, but at the same time, I don't really know it. So it's not a flavor profile that's really common here.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
In a certain way.
That's true. I think it's hard for me to see it because I'm so used to it.
And what's your favorite thing to cook? Is it, do you prefer baking or do you prefer savory foods?
I think I prefer savory food, but I do lots of desserts also. Uh-huh. And I like that, yeah. But I think if I choose dinner or dessert, I would choose dinner. Appetizers.
Oh, okay. And what is your favorite appetizer, maybe?
I like pierogies, but that you can have that as a main course as well.
True.
I think I love most of the things.
It's hard to generalize.
Yeah.
What's your favorite tool in the kitchen?
Oh, my favorite tool. Oh, right now. Oh, I think my bread knife is actually,
bread knife.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I got it this summer, and I have had terrible bread knives before, and I'm very happy.
Okay.
It's a Swiss knife. Yeah. And actually my almond mill.
Almond mill?
Yeah,
oh.
I love that.
And what do you use that for?
To mill almonds.
To mill
but
almonds.
It's a hand thing. It's a, it's an old, it's very traditional Swedish, I should show you.
Okay. Wow.
And I think I have it illustrated on the blog. Or you can get the illustration.
Wow.
But it's really great. But you have to have a table that just
to hold
it. That's
to lock onto.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So this doesn't really work, I think. No, it's too fat.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take a picture because that's
also in this, it will give marks on it.
Yeah, sure. So
but I should find the wood.
The top.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll take a photo of it. Just. And that's, I'm assuming, for like cakes and things like that.
It's perfect with, I mean, if you do chocolate cake with almond meal instead of
flour. And where did you find this thing?
In the flea market in Sweden.
Oh, okay. Yeah, interesting. Childhood food memory or, you know, something that reminds you of your childhood that you always go back to?
Different. Cakes, like cookies for Christmas, or at least, and it was like soft cakes and cookies and ginger cookies, of course. And we always like had different tasks, so it was like I was always doing one cookie, and my sister always did that.
Okay.
And we have favorites, and my mother still, when we have Christmas, so which cookies should I make? She will not make seven. And there is this classic Swedish cookie book that's called Seven Kinds of Cookies.
Ah, okay.
So it's very funny. That's why I say it.
Uh-huh. And what's your favorite cookie?
It was a chocolate cake. It was a cake that she actually sliced up, and she put it in the freezer for some reason. Mm. But it was always good because you got it like semi cold.
Oh.
I don't know. I like that one. And it had walnuts in it, and it was very rich chocolate. I have no idea how she made it, but.
And you haven't gotten the recipe for it.
Nope.
Secret.
I think I have asked, but she's like, "Oh, it's probably in one of these that she had put inside and
yeah.
fallen out."
Uh-huh.
But she knows how to do it. She have done it recently.
I have to stay there and watch and
yeah.
take notes. Well, when you go back to Sweden, which you do during the year, what do you like to eat? What's some of the things that you kind of yearn for when you're back in New York and you're going, oh, I can't wait to get to Sweden to have
herring. I mean, you can get excellent herring here too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to actually find it fresh, though, so you can cure it yourself, but it is possible. But I don't actually do that either so much in Sweden, because the herring you buy in the shop is actually excellent.
Yeah.
So I do it sometimes, but
now the herring you're talking about, it's salted or is it pickled?
It's actually quite sweet.
Ah, okay.
So yeah, you maybe say pickle. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a gravlax in a way.
Yeah. No. Often it comes with. I mean, they have like several different kinds, so
right.
you can. My favorite is matches, which is very plain. It's with red onions and now I can't remember the spices in there, but I think there's some specific. Yeah.
Allspice maybe.
Oh yeah,
allspice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, I think, and it's really good. And that one you don't really do because they
it's
have so many. Yeah. And
yeah, produced.
It's,
yeah.
yeah. I would probably try to do it here because it's IKEA's
yeah.
is not good.
No, it's pretty awful.
It's
Abbas,
terrible.
I think, or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
Well, no, because I've had it in the Russian places in Brighton Beach, and they're actually really, really delicious.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I think the way they do it is different for some reason.
Yeah, I think theirs are a little bit saltier.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not as vinegary
yeah.
flavored or
yeah.
sweet.
Yeah.
yeah.
And then, but then they have mustard herring.
Yeah.
They have like herring with cream and with caviar
yeah.
in it.
Mm.
And they have, there's dill herring. There is tomato
yeah.
herring,
yeah.
and which I'm not so fond. I mean, it's okay, but it's not my favorite. And and onion herring, and then they call something French herring, which is excellent. It's like a herring with onions also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, tons and garlic and curry herring.
Yeah, I've seen
which
that as
is
well.
So weird.
Yeah, it's.
I don't like that.
It's not a good mix, I don't think.
No.
Although I bought a can of this Danish mackerel, which is really great with pepper.
Ah.
At our supermarket locally, and it was like really fantastic. Made a sandwich with it. It was quite nice.
Yeah.
So I was surprised to find it because usually you don't find that exotic stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
In New York, when you're here, and do you prefer to cook at home or to go out to eat?
Both. I mean, I do cook most of the meals.
Uh-huh.
I only go out maybe once a week, twice, depends. Sometimes more, but. No, I really enjoy cooking, and yeah, because sometimes it actually feels tastier. Not
true.
So that, not to just say, oh, I'm a great cook, but I actually think that some restaurants are not so good, and you have to go to really nice restaurants to get.
Yeah, I think for me it's the same. It's like I don't feel like I want to go sit uncomfortably at a table with a lot of people around me.
Yeah.
And have to deal with a waiter and the service and the check
yeah.
and everything. I'd rather just simply make a nice, simple dish at
yeah.
home.
Yeah.
Although a good experience once in a while
yeah, yeah.
doesn't hurt.
Yeah,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
Definitely.
Do you think that food blogging is relevant still? And is it a good medium to talk about food? I mean, there's so many people on the internet talking about food. It seems almost oversaturated.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think it's sort of getting lost or overworked?
I don't know. I'm still a little bit different from many, so
yeah.
I think it's okay. But yeah, no, it is. I see what you say. It's but it's still there's. I don't know. I mean, still there's so many good blogs, and I like the community so much, and there's a great discussions. I mean, especially on Twitter and so yeah, no, it's a great thing.
Yeah, and there's always like. this controversy between Facebook and Twitter and talking too much in 140 characters to say very little.
Yeah, but I kind of like that, that to be short, and that works better for me than I'm a Facebook is okay, but it's different.
Well, going back to restaurants, what is your favorite restaurant here or in Sweden?
Oh, that's hard. Because I haven't been to Noma or that kind of restaurant.
Elitist restaurant.
So, actually, I mean, my favorite restaurant actually is in Italy.
Oh, okay.
And now I can't remember the name of the restaurant or the city. But it was north of Venice, and we went to a mountain village actually to see an architect, Scarpa. He had designed a cemetery there.
Mm.
And so we went there to see that, and then we stayed over in the city, a little town. And we heard there was an excellent restaurant, and it was. We went there for lunch, and it was so good. So we
went back there for dinner.
And it was not in season, so it was like easy to get a table.
Right,
and
yeah.
It was just excellent. It was, I have to get back.
Okay, we'll write it down.
But here, I don't know. I mean, I like the place we went to now,
Rucola. Yeah.
But that's a nice neighborhood.
Neighborhood,
joint.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, they have good, decent food, and so which I actually kind of like that kind of places. Where
rather
it's simple.
Than a stiff kind of
yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind to go to more. I mean, like
haute.
Yeah. Now we used to in Sweden actually one of my favorite restaurants there was a country side. Restaurant run by a family, a couple. They have had it for 20 years or something, and they lived in the house.
Oh.
Used to live in the house. I think they moved away from it and then had the business separately. But their food was amazing. I mean, it was simple, but it was like I think the whole thing. They were so
genuine.
Yeah, and the kitchen was small. You could see in there, and they were, she came there with the. Working pant. I mean, like not like
overalls.
Yeah, overall.
Wow.
And she was, I mean, very charming, and she was always serving and taking care of the guests. And you could buy the wine by the you could actually just take this much because they actually measure the wine instead of
by the milliliter.
Yeah, so because in Sweden you can't actually almost drive by drinking.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, so which is good. It's a good rule, but. If you take a little bit, it's okay.
Yeah.
So that's why
2%.
They have that rule. Chauffeur could have.
So he could have one too.
But it was also good because then everybody can actually have a sip of. I mean, if you were sharing, I want to try your.
your little milliliter.
Yeah. No, but it was. I mean, it was great. It was like a tasting. So I really liked that.
Mm-hmm.
And they had that with all their wines, so they had no like. So they open every bottle for that.
That's great.
That way. I think that was it. But they closed down, and now there is a very nice restaurant, but it's a little bit more expensive and it's more exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go there, but you see.
Yeah.
He's a famous chef. I can't, Berlin or something.
What's your favorite medium to draw or illustrate? Is it markers, pens, pencils?
I actually use pencil, and then I draw everything on the computer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I start with this, with the pencil.
So it's more old school goes to new school.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I draft, and then I scan it in, and then I continue working. So I have that as like a underlay. So,
right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
the modern world.
Yeah.
Art's changed.
Yeah. But of course, I can do a pen as well, but this is the way. I really like the pencil to work.
And what do you do first, work on the recipe, or do you draw something first, or?
It depends, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes the story comes first.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not always I do stories. I mean, sometimes I just talk about the recipe, but But they, yeah, it depends.
And who do you think are your sort of like blog followers? Because I know mine are mostly bread geeks.
I don't know. I think it's a mix of many different people.
Uh-huh.
But I haven't. There's lots of bread people following
yeah.
me too. For some, even if I don't bake so much, but I guess because I'm so into that too, and that's
yeah.
how we met.
Right.
And
your Boulard, you know, post, I said, oh, I gotta make those next.
Yeah.
I gotta figure out how to make them sourdough, though.
Yeah, I would like to do that, too.
Yeah.
I didn't have the time when we did the post, and I did that with Anna Bronson.
Uh-huh.
And she was doing it in Portland, and
uh-huh.
I was doing it.
Yeah, simultaneous
yeah.
baking. So what have you been cooking lately? What's your kind of thing that you like to cook?
I have been baking a lot this
uh-huh.
this summer. I have been doing a lot of sourdough,
yeah.
but both rye and wheat.
Okay.
And that I have been taking rosemary from the garden, and
uh-huh.
that have been really nice. And now I'm doing a lot of dark bread,
uh-huh.
Playing with that. But I'm it's too early for me to have a recipe for that. So it's
yeah.
gonna be maybe closer to the summer.
A work in progress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I would like to actually have the even if I mean everybody have already done it, but the sourdough thing. But I feel it would be I will have something, and because that's what I'm doing. So
yeah.
And what else do I cook? I cook very simple food
mm-hmm.
mostly, and lots of vegetables, spinach and kale.
Oh, okay.
For weekdays and stuff.
That's good.
Yeah.
Healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah no. And mushrooms. I'm a mushroom fan.
Yeah.
So that's at least once a week. Mushrooms.
And when you're in the city, do you buy from the green market or do you buy just from?
There's a lot of green markets here,
uh-huh.
and I love them all. But this summer I have been too crazy, so I
yeah.
haven't. Been able to go all
right.
as I want.
Yeah, it's hard. It's like the city doesn't really give enough time for the markets in a sense. If they're like 3 days a week or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So I always think about like in Europe where they have markets everywhere all the time.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's kind
yeah.
of a sad thing in a way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here it's like Saturday, and then of course they have, I think, in the middle of the week, but it's never on my
your way.
My path.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah, I just went the other day and it was just the stuff was clearly so different than what you buy at a supermarket
yeah, yeah. No,
where you see
taste.
Guys spraying things with water or everything
yeah.
in plastic and you're like, God.
I hate that.
Yeah,
I mean,
disgusting.
The salad, I mean, that's what I love when I'm in Sweden over the summer when I grow my own lettuce.
Mm.
And it's suddenly I can have like a mix of lettuce
yeah.
and it's just
and
fresh.
It tastes different.
Yeah,
yeah.
It tastes much
there's definitely a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we pick mushrooms there too.
Uh-huh.
And
do you have like somebody who checks your mushrooms for you in case you don't know?
No,
what
I'm actually quite good at.
Okay.
I grew up with picking mushrooms.
Yeah.
I actually picked mushrooms long before I actually liked to eat them.
Wow.
I hated mushrooms when I was
uh-huh.
a child, but I didn't mind to pick them, and
yeah.
I thought it was fun, and I got really I'm like excited to find nice ones, and
uh-huh.
like chanterelles or. Steps
right, yeah. Because I have no idea how to do that. I'd be scared. I'd be picking something poisonous.
Yeah.
My brother was actually doing it in Colorado, so that kind of freaked me out. I said, "Are you sure those are edible?"
Yeah.
Oh wow.
This is from 2 years ago, I think.
Uh huh. What are these?
I think that's the funnel chanterelle. That's
wow.
the yellow foot.
Oh my god, that's really good. And you got these where in?
In Sweden.
Ah, okay.
And this is that I smuggled in.
Wow, these would be like
and
great in rice.
These are the trumpets.
Uh huh.
The black trumpet.
Ooh, a milder smell.
Yeah, these are the funnel chanterelles are excellent in risotto.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Yeah. And here's the.
Maybe even
cuisine.
In bread.
They're awesome, but they're very chocolatey.
Oh wow.
They don't smell like chocolate.
Oh my god, these are like crazy.
Yeah. And those, I think, are. Yeah, these are three summers ago, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And they're still like this.
Yeah, I mean, the flavor is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've gotten dried stuff in the supermarket and you never get the same bouquet
yeah.
as that. That's like.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
amazing.
definitely has to do something with the earth.
Yeah, and but the great thing is also you can buy like simple mushrooms, like field mushrooms, and just
dry them.
And you cook them, and then you just put a little bit of these.
Yeah, and it enhances the flavor.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
So.
Interesting. Wow, that sounds good.
It's good.
So we were talking before. You had kind of had the idea to start a book rather than doing a blog. Is there any idea of doing a book still?
Yeah, there is.
Uh-huh, okay.
And I have actually done proposals for it, but that didn't work out. But that's, I don't have to tell you that story.
Yeah.
I have ideas.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm actually going to work on the fanzine together with Anna Bruns.
Oh, okay.
And we haven't really, so I can't say so much because we haven't really got to
the core.
Yeah, we have we know the subject and all that, but it's the idea is not.
And do you think that's sort of like a retro thing, that rather than being on the web, that something physical in your hand is like having a book again, you know, or an album instead of like a CD or a digital thing on your computer. You can hold it.
I don't mind to actually illustrate others' books. I mean, I have done three books now, but I've had my illustrations in, and I really like that. And I would like to do more of that.
Now, if you did somebody else's book and they asked you, I want it to be a different style than what you do, could you do that?
I could do that. A little bit. But I have that style already.
Yeah.
Jules Clancy's book.
Right.
I don't have a bookshelf. The Love is Free. There, I just did the background. And she saw my background on my blog, and then she wanted to have that. And so, of course, it's But yeah, no, I could do that. I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And where did you study illustration?
And I have always drawn, and when I study architecture, I trained a lot. I mean, I was drawing always, and also I had professors and teachers who really encouraged me, and even if I was also very, very into working with 3D in the computer. So I was really always by the computer, but I was still always like sketching, so always in my presentations, always like the concepts always had like something that illustrated or and my last project was I decided not to have any 3D almost and just do
illustration.
And I did the final here. I did the work here in New York.
Right.
And so that was really great. I was like doing all these illustrations of how I did the final work was about the High Line that now is a park. And so it was a lot about that, the people, but how I saw people using the High Line. And so.
Right.
Huh.
Yeah, because I used to draw, and my father's a painter, but I never could conceive of, like, I mean, I have people say, oh, why don't you paint your bread or paint food, and I'm like, I don't think I can. That's what I do already when I'm cooking. That for me, that's the physical nature of my drawing is on a plate, or the bread is the art.
So
it's a different
concept
completely.
Yeah, and I feel my food looks okay. It doesn't look great. I mean, it doesn't look like your brands, which are beautiful. And many other food bloggers who really, I mean, they're really good with photographs, but also their food look gorgeous.
Yeah.
And that takes time. I mean.
Well, no, actually, I learned something about, in art and I guess in photography. My dad was a great photographer, so for some weird reason, he knew how to take a picture. And, but for me, it's like always never try to pose something, never try to make it like food, what do they call them? Those people that like design food for like magazines, which, you know, I'm sure is really hard and a difficult thing. But
yeah.
for me, it's just like you snap it, just don't wait for like the perfect shot,
yeah.
just and see what happens, you know.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
more like spontaneous
yeah.
combustion.
Yeah, no, I think that works better for me.
Yeah. But thank you for speaking with us, or
that's
me.
Right. Yeah,
yeah,
that's great.
Excellent.
Thank you.